This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
It's the Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with Tina Camilla, Lim Soo Ann, and Tisha Wick. Earlier, we were discussing a pun about Tourette's that landed the comic in hot water. Our next story is about poorly behaving art gallery visitors.
And that's also why we're asking you on Twitter, what would you do if you saw somebody touching an artwork that they shouldn't be? So 44% of you said that you'd tell them off, 28% of you say you'd tell security, 20% of you would do nothing, while 7% of you would actually name and shame them online. So you can take that poll or tweet us any of your thoughts at BFM Radio. You can also WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 0377-33-2900.
So naming and shaming online has kind of gotten us to where we are today with this story. So at the National Art Gallery here in KL, they have been running the Bakat Muda Sezaman, or Young Contemporaries exhibition, starting in May, and it will end in September. And this exhibition showcases all the submissions by participating artists for this year's award. And unfortunately, what's in the past couple of weeks has been appearing on people's social media posts is, you know, pictures showing people touching and sitting on the exhibit. And so it led to a news article in The Star yesterday pointing out what's happened.
Yeah, and that's a very different form of appreciation that you would want when you're going to see, when you're going to the Balai Seni. I mean, one installation piece, which is Meeting Eye by Masita G. May Jane, that was actually broken by visitors because they sat on the large mirror that was part of the exhibit just so that they can get the perfect Instagram photo. And, you know, in another exhibit, visitors also stole thumb drives from a video installation by Forrest Wong and Ong Chai Bin, while another visitor took one of Ho Mei Kei's Pengenalan Diri framed works off the wall just to get a shot of herself holding that artwork.
And there were also people who sat on some of the sculptures in Hafendi Anwar's Member exhibit. Others squeezed their way into the middle of a cluster of stand fans in Muhammad Nizar Sulaiman's Obey installation. And you can't say that they wandered through it accidentally. The fans are all placed barely a foot apart on a raised platform. So there's no way that you accidentally happen to be in the midst of all of that, right?
Exactly.
Another visitor placed her hand and foot on the ladder in Samsudin Wahab's Rambu Rambu Memory. And by the way, Samsudin was the winner in this year's Bakat Muda Sezaman. So much for respecting the artists and their work.
Yeah. And the really geram thing, I think, is that all these actions weren't even done like surreptitiously, you know. They were actually proudly posing in that way and displaying all these posts on their Instagram accounts. And that's how this issue came to light. And so many artists and art enthusiasts have been taking to their own social media accounts to lament such behavior. And one of them is Andrew Pok Chong Boon, an artist and lecturer at a local art academy. And his students were actually among some of the artists who had their work displayed at the show. So here he is sharing how they felt about the recent developments.
I think definitely they're quite angry about that, especially some of the work like already damaged, especially the mirror piece, and it caused quite costly to get the mural, and the artists pay quite a lot of money for that. I think also they feel like this is a bit disrespectful to the work. Also, I think they feel like the organizers should provide better security, or at least they provide some invigilator to walk around and try to take care of the work.
The National Art Gallery has released a statement addressing this issue. Part of the statement said, "Ditegaskan terdapat barikad atau penghalang yang menghalang pengunjung untuk melintasi kawasan karya dipamerkan, namun ianya diceroboh. Balai Seni Negara mempunyai risalah etika gallery or gallery manners di kaunter pendaftaran untuk para pengunjung yang hadir membaca bagi mengetahui perkara yang boleh dan tidak boleh dilakukan di dalam galeri. Malah di setiap galeri terdapat pembantu museum yang bertugas untuk memerhatikan pergerakan pelawat. Oleh itu adalah
menjadi tanggungjawab individu untuk menghormati dan berhati-hati apabila menyaksikan sesebuah karya pameran serta tidak merosakkannya. Basically, this whole statement is saying that there are barricades. They also have the gallery manners or the etiquette for like being in the gallery at the registration counter. And there are also museum attendants, I suppose, that are manning the exhibitions and watching the visitors. So all these things in place in order to ensure that visitors do behave themselves.
Yes, basically.
And not, you know, destroy the exhibits like they have done.
I wanted to ask whether, I know Sue and you went to Balai recently. Yeah. Have you, Tina?
No, not recently.
Okay. So, I mean, the thing that is that rejuvenated Balai in the recent weeks, of course, was the Leonardo da Vinci exhibition. So the spillover from that, like 1,000, 2,000 strong crowd every day, they were also visiting this Bakat Muda Sezaman shows in the other levels. And so they just suddenly had so many people visiting, as opposed to usually you see five people at any one time. Suen, did you recall seeing a lot of Pembantu Museum around when you were there?
On the Pembantu Museum, I remember like at each floor, the entrance to the Bakat Muda Sezaman, there is someone sitting there who probably can guide you on what to do. But I don't actively remember people milling around, you know, keeping an eye on the exhibits. And I think it's also understandable because the exhibits are spread over 2 to 3 floors. There's quite a lot of exhibits. And, you know, the Balai Seni only recently has seen this surge in people. So it's probably a bit too much to ask of them to suddenly have a lot more people helping out as well. But I remember most of the people on the day that I was there, many of them were behaving. Like, I didn't see anyone who was actively like sitting on the mirror or anything. But I remember one of the exhibits was already broken, and I can't remember which one it was. It was near the fans, the Obey one, and it was something. I think it was meant to be an instrument of sorts, and you can hear. It's like a wind chime thingy, and I remember there were a few pieces, but some of them were already broken. And there were no barricades to that one because it's quite small pieces. So it really did make me wonder what caused it, because if someone had itchy hands, you could easily...
Yes.
The point is, you do not need to barricade artwork if people actually do appreciate art.
So, I mean, you know, is it incumbent on gallery owners and exhibition organizers to be so strict by placing like huge ropes around each exhibit, for instance? Or is it the responsibility of the public to know how to behave? So I asked art curator Shamin Parameswaran what she thought.
I think the visual arts industry in Malaysia is not as matured as other countries, right? So when you say whose responsibility is it to make sure that the artworks are taken care of, I think it's everyone in the visual arts ecosystem. It starts with the artist. You know, when the artist conceptualizes a work, they have in their mind how they would like people or audiences to access it or not. Then comes that conversation with the venue which they're presenting, or if they're working with a curator, on how they would like to see their vision of art come out. You know, some artists would have no qualms about saying, yeah, let people come right up to my work. Or some artists might say, no, I think my work is better experienced from afar, right? And I think then it's a matter of discussion on how this presentation comes into the venue, which is then the bridge to the audience. So, you know, if an artist says, ideally I don't want people too close to my work, or the venue can even say, your work looks a bit precarious, we would rather people not come too near it, then the necessary precautions have to be taken, whether it's a simple barrier or whether it's a signage, a lighted signage ideally, that people can sort of note.
But I know, Tina, what you've been, what you feel about this is, do we really need signs or barricades to tell us that we shouldn't perhaps be sitting on a work of art? So I got Charmin to weigh in on that as well.
I think what happened at Balai is, I mean, to me, to break the artwork, that's a different matter altogether, right? Or even to go out and take it off the wall. That's why I said that education of the value of art, perhaps, in this country could be a bit lacking. Because if you look at some of the artworks, it might look like everyday objects. And in people's minds, it's like, oh, okay, it's everyday objects which I can pick up. So what's the fuss over that, right? Mm. But then we have to... But we don't question things like this. The work was presented in that way because of a certain concept. The concept is the artwork. And the presentation is just a way of bringing out that concept or bringing up a sort of a view or a point. But I think to people, it's like, oh, it's everyday objects. I might as well just go and, you know, pick it off the floor. Mm-hmm. Or it's a mirror, step on it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's perpetuated nowadays, especially if you've not been to a visual art exhibition, a lot by what we see in the social culture as well. I mean, globally, we are seeing museums of Instagram or ice cream museums where people go right into an exhibit for the sake of taking a photo. So we are in a time where these are the kind of cues that people are also accessing, right? So it will be a bit of an education to basically tell people there are there are various ways to access art, and I think with the Bakat Muda, that was not the way. And I think the necessary precautions might not have been fully there.
So I find that point by Charmaine very interesting about, knowing what was the concept behind the artist's work, what was their rationale or vision. So taking, for instance, Shamsuddin Wahab's Rambu Rambu Memory again, which Tina, you said earlier, he's the winner of this year's Bakat Muda Sezaman, in fact. So one, it was an installation piece with three flags made out of gunny sacks, one big axe on the wall, and a ladder. And they were all created from materials that he remembers from his childhood, mud and dirt, the gunny sacks, because he grew up in a very poor family, and they had no money to even have pictures, for instance, taken when they were younger. So his only actual memories of his childhood are what he can sort of just reconstruct from nostalgia and things like that. And so for someone to then just take it as a prop to pose as if they are climbing up the ladder, as one person did and posted about it, I don't know. Do you think that they got what Shamsuddin was trying to portray?
You think? Is that a rhetorical question?
It just feels so disrespectful, especially when a lot, like, the artists put a lot of thought into this, and, you know, whether you read the statements that they have or not, or you interpret it in your own way, the whole idea of it is for you to go there and, you know, think of art and be more thoughtful about it. And then this just seems very careless when you're just going there for the Instagram. Mm. And also, like, going back to the woman who sat on the mirror in Masita's installation, and she was also called out on Instagram after posting a photo of her sitting on the mirror. And in response, she actually said that she did it because other people had also been sitting on it and that there was no signage to stop them.
Ignorance is no defense, my friend.
Yes. And I very clearly remember there is a barricade in front of the sign, yes, in front of the installation.
In fact, in her own Instagram post, you can see just off to the side of that picture that she took, a barricade that it doesn't have to be a massive no entry sign, I believe, to send the message that you shouldn't step over it.
Yeah, and
much less step onto it.
Yes, and especially if you see other people doing it, that doesn't justify you also, that it's okay for you to also do it. So we also asked Andrew how the public should behave.
I think visitors should consider, if they are not sure whether they allow to touch the work, they should ask the people first before they do that. And sometimes gallery, they don't allow the public to take photo also.
I just thought also that whether our galleries are ready to play the bigger role of nurturing art appreciation among the public. So far, yes, they do a good job in providing the public, the physical space, and putting the artworks in that space. But, what more are they doing beyond that to guide visitors in a meaningful way, to have the right etiquette and to teach them how to appreciate and access the artwork? To me, I feel that having a handful of museum attendants, gallery attendants, or having just an etiquette manual that's
perhaps not well displayed, is not good enough.
You know, I don't know if it's the role of the National Gallery or galleries, art galleries in general, because I think it should have started in school. We kind of think that Pendidikan Seni was useless. Now look at where we are. Anyway, I digress. There's also the role of galleries in nurturing budding artists, which I think should be the main role, not to teach, you know, uncivilized members of the public to appreciate the arts. A local artist, Gerald Chong, posted on his Facebook page last week about how the National Art Gallery asked him to leave when he was at the Leonardo da Vinci Opera Omnia exhibition to sketch a copy of the Mona Lisa, even though he had been allowed to do so at the Caravaggio exhibition last year. He said he felt alienated by an institution that is supposed to support local artists. So, I actually like seeing budding artists taking the time to sketch. Mm-hmm. Because I think, what's that phrase? Imitation is the...
the best form of...
flattery. Flattery. Sorry.
Flattery? Yeah, something like But I suppose, and also you learn from imitating, no?
Yes, yes.
Singers do that, artists do that. And, yes. And to kind of discourage them to do so, I find that a little bit counterintuitive.
Yeah, and in fact, on the during the rest of the year, when the National Art Gallery is not filled with people trying to see reproductions of Da Vinci's work, it's actually mostly art students who visit Balai, and they are the ones who I think keep the institution going and are one day going to have their works displayed on those walls.
Yes.
So why not give them that opportunity to be there to learn whatever that they can?
Yeah, and maybe teach a thing or two to those who don't know how to appreciate the art. I think just seeing... there's this, I don't know, I find it like a poetic imagery to see a young artist taking his or her time to sketch, you know, what they're seeing.
Yeah. Even children, for instance.
Yeah, yeah.
Some galleries organize group tours for school students, and some of them are, you can see them sitting in small groups, just their own interpretation of what they see, which is great. I mean, we read about a lot of these. It's not just in Malaysia, of course. I'm not putting down Malaysians only.
Contextualize, shall we? Contextualize.
All over the world, you know, different galleries and museums have their fair share of these kinds of incidents. And a lot of them in recent years have been related to people trying to take selfies and then accidentally damaging something. So, it's a bit of a debate, really. Is it because of our attitude, or is it because of the institution not providing better signage?
I don't agree with signages in these galleries. It kind of overshadow the artworks itself. I feel like we need an exhibition about signages, about know this, know that, and then just next to it, people doing exactly what the signs tell them not to do. Because that's what happened anyway. Like, you can keep making excuses. There's no signage, there's no police around or whatever. You're just going to make excuses. There's not enough policing of my behavior in public. No, you police yourself.
And yet when we are policed, we get upset about
exactly.
it.
Exactly. So there's no winning. There's no winning.
Maybe just one big signage outside the gallery before you go in saying, do not touch anything.
Anything.
We also received a few comments on this. So Sharon Wu WhatsApped in to say that, Karen Wong WhatsApped in to say that I tell them not to do so because any other action would be too late. It's better to tell them to tell people to not touch things at the moment. So it's a bit like training a child.
I don't know if they might take it wrongly and then, I don't know,
get upset.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the dilemma that a lot of people have. I mean, it makes me think of when there are people smoking around you. Yeah. For instance, people smoking near a pregnant woman, for instance, and they get told off, and then the smoker gets hostile. I mean, I've heard these stories before.
Absolutely.
You know.
We also have another WhatsApp from Cynthia saying that the gallery or museum itself should take efforts to make sure visitors know how or whether to interact with the artwork. So, for example, the Bank Negara Museum recently had an exhibition of installations where they clearly divided the works that we could interact with and the ones that were only for viewing. So this really helps an audience that is perhaps still unfamiliar with the concept of interactive art.
The curious thing is that people assume that all artworks are interactive until you tell them it's not. I've always assumed that it's the reverse, that none of the artworks are meant to be touched. Like, I stand a really, really safe distance unless I need to read the signpost, which is usually really, really small. And you need to.
And perhaps it's because of what Charmin said, that the artists use really a lot of everyday materials and they don't look like your traditional idea of an artwork. So, I don't know, maybe the lines are blurred in people's minds. I know
you're an apologist.
Just trying to figure out the logic of this, because I do agree with you, Tina. I don't think we need things
cordon off.
Yeah, we shouldn't need big glaring neon lights to tell us don't touch. To me, I think even like black masking tape around an exhibit tells me to stay away. But we do have to cater to a public that's just not as aware and not as familiar with visiting galleries.
And I also wonder whether social media is playing a role in this, like the idea that people now want to post photos. We also have a couple more comments. So someone, anonymous, WhatsApped in saying that I was at the National Art Gallery recently and I did notice that there were notices and barriers. So I had a kid for the first time with at our art gallery with me. So I explained why we cannot touch some of the exhibits and it made sense to him. So I hope he remembers what's proper behavior when he goes to other exhibits and appreciate and respect others' creativity. And they also noticed that people were quite zealous in taking photos instead of appreciating the artworks by taking the time to look at it and to read the statements that were next to each
other. So again, it was just about the gram for them rather than understanding what that artwork was about.
Listen, ladies and gentlemen, you are not the artwork. Instagram is not an art gallery. Go to the art gallery to appreciate the artworks. Okay?
One last WhatsApp. So LePanda WhatsApped in. I think it's similar to what we've been talking about. We have too many of these 3D art gallery or 3D museums that are in no way a gallery nor a museum, and it encourages people to go up close and personal and pose and take photos. So people would think that art installations are meant to be interactive in the same way.
Yeah. Alright. Well, it's a very difficult thing to grapple with. In a way, this naming and shaming has at least brought the issue to light. I'm a bit of an apologist. Yes, I feel kind of bad for the people who've been unfortunately shamed.
So you see, Sherry, it's very obvious that you are a nurturing mother and I'm not.
Hey, but when I bring my kid to an art gallery, I'm the one constantly barking, don't touch, don't touch, don't touch. And you, with kids, you have to do it every single second because they're so curious. Perhaps with people, adults, we just have to do the same thing.
Yes, and so, you know, one last look at our poll on Twitter where we're asking you, what would you do if you saw somebody touching an artwork that they shouldn't? So 46% of you said that you'd tell them off, 28% of you would tell security, 19% of you would do nothing, and only 7% of you would name and shame online. So you can keep taking that poll, tweet us at BFM Radio or WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also find us on Facebook at BFM The Bigger Picture.
We'll tell you the poll results and get to your comments shortly. Meanwhile, here's You Can't Touch This by MC Hammer.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, The Business Station.
You're still listening to The Daily Digest on The Bigger Picture with Tina, Xiaoyik and Suan. This hour, we've been discussing the controversial Tourette's pun that won Olaf Falafel the best joke at the Edinburgh Fringe Festival. The joke it was, I keep randomly shouting out broccoli and cauliflower. I think I might have Florette's.
So we received a few comments on this. So on Twitter, Dr. Amir Siddiq, who we have quite regularly, he's a consultant psychiatrist and we have regularly on our Health and Living show. So he tweeted in his own one-liner, comedy issue, Tourette's, stigma.
Make of that what you will.
We also have another WhatsApp in saying that I think jokes about medical conditions may be funnier if it comes from a comedian who has that condition. So, for example, someone makes a joke about depression and actually has depression. But when it comes from someone who may not be experiencing it, or it may come off sounding offensive. And then it can also encourage people to be insensitive or think that, you know, if someone can make a joke from this and get a laugh out of it, then the condition itself won't be taken seriously, and then it feels invalidated.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And in our second story, we spoke with artist and art lecturer Andrew Polk and art curator Shamin Parameswaran about the issue of visitors to the National Art Gallery behaving badly, which in fact inspired the Star yesterday to run a story reminding us this is not how you behave in an art gallery. And so we've had quite energetic conversation, mostly with Tina saying, that's not how you behave.
And we also have another WhatsApp in about telling you how we should behave. And Sivan C saying that, you know, you go to art galleries to view the artwork and appreciate them. That should be it.
Yes. As Tina said, I like it. I'm going to have it, you know, printed out in my own art exhibit, I think. You are not the artist. You are not the artwork, and Instagram is not an art gallery.
That's right.
We were also asking you on Twitter, what would you do if you saw somebody touching an artwork that they shouldn't? So 48% of you said I'd tell them off. 27% of you said you'd tell security. 19% of you say you'd do nothing. And 7% of you said that you name and shame online. And so we have a tweet from Jasmine saying that nice to see, nice to touch, once broken, considered soul. And maybe now we can change that to once broken, considered barred from stepping foot inside ever.
Harsh.
Yes. And she also thinks that usually telling them off may work, but telling the security to tell them might be better because people would take someone of authority more seriously.
That's if you can find somebody who's, you know, like an official who's working there in the first place.
Yeah, and I think it was a good point that you brought up, Shawik, that, you know, the gallery had probably never seen this kind of foot traffic before and probably were ill-equipped to deal with that. So a well-trained staff, I think, might be able to handle it better. And I think lesson learned for everyone.
Yes.
And that's a wrap for today's show. If you miss any part of it, you can download the podcasts from bfm.my/dailydigest, from our BFM app, or from Spotify. If you need more conversations about the arts, don't worry. Coming up after the 3 p.m. news is Front Row with Sharmila Ganesan. For now, here's If I Were a Painter by Nora Jones on the Bigger Picture BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.